Holy, righteous God, you make yourself known to us in so many ways, in so many places, and in so many times. You know when we rise up and when we lie down. You know our weaknesses and our strengths, our needs and even our wants. You give us love that is unending, a cup that is never full. Guide us, you save us, you give us hope when we are in abyss. You are the hope, you are our Redeemer, you are our friend in all these ways and many more to us. This is God. It's through your holy name we pray. Amen.
How you guys doing this morning? Y'all doing good?
Yeah.
Yeah? All right. Can anybody tell me what this thing is?
A
phone. That's right. What do we do on these?
Play.
Play, talk, watch YouTube. Yeah, they're great, right? We text. Yeah. But who? Somebody said we talk to people. Who was that? Was that you? Oh, YouTube? Oh, yeah, that's good too. But yeah, we talk to people on them, right? We talk to people, we tell people about our day, we let people know things that are going on with us. Yeah, that's right. It is like we always have a phone with God. That's a very good point. Yeah. Yeah, we can watch videos on it. You're right. But phones are cool because we get to talk to people. And you were right. It's like we always have a phone with God because we can talk to God. At any time, we don't need a phone to talk to God, do we? No, we can talk to God whenever we want. We can tell him how our day's going. We can tell him things that are going on with our lives. And God loves it when we talk to him. What's another thing we do on the phone? Instead of talking, sometimes we listen. That's right. Sometimes we have to listen. And when we talk to God, it's also important that we listen to God. Because when we listen to God, that's when God tells us what he wants us to do. When God tells us the different things of how we should be living our life, right? So when we talk to God, it's also important that we listen to God, right? So I want us all to remember that we can talk and we can listen to God anytime we want. There's no special time when we have to do it. There's no special time when we get to do it. We can do it whenever we want. It's totally up to us. All right, y'all ready to go talk to God right now? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can talk to you anytime we want. Lord, and we ask that you place it on our hearts that we would want to talk to you more, that we would want to listen to you, not just talk, but to also listen so we can know you better and know what you want us to do. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. See you guys later.
Thank you.
Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to come and hear your word. And God, I ask that this is your word, not my own. I ask that you use me as a mouthpiece to speak to your people in this congregation. And I ask that their hearts would be open and receptive to the message that you have for us today. It's in your Son's holy and precious name we pray. Amen. Today we are continuing in our sermon series in James. We've been looking at how we should live as Christians, how we should interact with our neighbors as Christians in this sermon series in James. And today we're continuing in that. Today we're talking about taming the tongue, this very small but very powerful part of our body. Today's scripture comes from James chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. And it says, "My brothers and sisters, not many of you should become teachers, because we know that we teachers will be judged more strictly. We all make mistakes, often. But those who don't make mistakes with their words have reached full maturity. Like a bridled horse, they can control themselves entirely. When we bridle horses and put bits in their mouth, we can lead them wherever we want. We can control their whole bodies. Consider ships. They are so large that strong winds are needed to drive them. But pilots direct their ships wherever they want with a little rudder. In the same way, even though the tongue is small, it's a small part of the body. It boasts wildly. Think about this. A small flame can set a whole forest on fire. The tongue is a small flame of fire, a world of evil at work in us. It contaminates our entire lives. Because of it, the circle of life is set on fire. The tongue itself is set on fire by the flames of hell. People can tame, and already have tamed, every kind of bird, reptile, and fish, and all animal. Yet no one can tame the tongue, though it is a restless evil full of deadly poison. With it we both bless the Lord and the Father and curse human beings who are made in God's likeness. Blessing and cursing come from the same mouth. My brothers and sisters, it shouldn't be this way. Both fresh water and salt water don't come from the same spring, do they? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree produce olives? Can a grapevine produce figs? Of course not. And fresh water doesn't flow from a saltwater spring either. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Have you ever been walking around the community or walking around in Walmart and somebody says something and your immediate thought is, what did you just say? Did that really just come out of your mouth? We see this all the time. People don't have a very good hold on their tongue. They haven't tamed their tongue yet. And when we hear these things floating around, when we hear these bad words in our community, they get stuck in our head. It's easier to have bad words that you hear get stuck in your head than good words that we hear get stuck in our head. Why is that? Sometimes I think it's because we focus on the bad instead of the good in our life. Our tongue is something that is very small, but can get us into big trouble. We see that James starts off with the warning that not many of us should become teachers. And when I first hear this, I thought, well, James, that's great. But if there's no teachers, then how will we get to know about God? God obviously wants us to have Christian teachers, good Christian teachers that are sharing the gospel with others. This is something that God wants. But he is right. Not all of us should become teachers, because teachers will be judged more strictly. James says we all stumble with things, and a lot of times words can be something that we stumble with. He says we all make mistakes often, but those who don't make mistakes with their words have reached full maturity. And those are the people that should be teachers, the ones who don't make mistake with their words that can tame their tongue. And it's not easy to tame our tongue. And when I first read this, I thought James was maybe meaning that we'd be judged more by the people around us. You see, being a teacher in the Jewish culture was a big deal. Everybody in the Jewish culture wanted to be a teacher. And I think that's where James was coming from, showing everybody that teaching is not for everybody, because we must have our whole lives in check. We must have our tongues in check, being mature Christians. But I think James is also saying that we'll be judged more by God. When we teach, we are taking charge of a group of people. We're becoming in charge of their actions. We're becoming in charge of the things that we say to them. And when we're instructing people, our words can make a big difference in their lives, whether they're good words or bad words. And I think that's also what James was getting at, that being a teacher is a huge responsibility. And the words that we say have a direct impact. The tongue is a very powerful thing. And we see this from the comparisons that James makes in the scripture. We see that he talks about a horse with a bit in its mouth. We can direct the horse any way we want to. A large ship has a very small rudder, yet that small rudder directs the ship anywhere the pilot wants to direct it. We see that a small spark can start a whole fire. These small things can create big problems. And it's no different with our tongue. We see that our tongue is something that we have to watch very carefully. God has entrusted us with the privilege and responsibility of speaking. It's a privilege that we are able to speak, that we are able to share words with our neighbor, that we are able to share the gospel with our neighbor. We have great responsibility with it. And to quote a very wise philosopher, with great power comes great responsibility. That was Spider-Man, in case y'all didn't get that. But we must be mindful. We must be mindful of the things that we say to our neighbor. John Wesley had three general rules for his life. Number one was do no harm. Number two was do good. And number three was stay in love with God. If we look at this first rule, do no harm, we see that this can play a huge role in our speech. We can very much harm people with the words that we choose to use. We can very much harm people the way we speak to them, the way we interact with them. And I think that's what Wesley was getting at with his rule, do no harm. And when I first discovered this set of rules, back when I was in college doing a Bible study, I thought to myself, do no harm. I'm going to go this whole day without speaking any words of harm to people, with speaking good and wholesome words. I came in contact with many people that day, but I think I was only able to speak to three of them because I was too busy holding my tongue the rest of the day. We must be wary about the things we say to our neighbors. We must have control of our tongue when we're talking to our neighbors. Scripture says that taming the tongue is a very difficult thing to do. The scripture tells us that humans have tamed all kinds of animals, but no man can tame the tongue. And that's true. We cannot tame the tongue on our own. Matthew 12:34 tells us, "You brood of vipers, how can you who are evil do anything good? For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of." The mouth speaks what the heart is full of. We can't do this on our own because we can't change our hearts on our own. We need Christ. We need this relationship, building this relationship with God so that he can transform our hearts and our minds. If our hearts are full of anger and bitterness, we're going to speak anger and bitterness. If our hearts are full of lust, we're going to speak into that lust. Because our mouth speaks what the heart is full of. But if we truly submit ourselves to God and let him change our hearts, we will be able to speak good and wholesome things. We will be able to be a good witness for the people who overhear us talking, because we'll be speaking things that are full of life, things that are full of Christ and his message for others. But we can't do this until our hearts are changed. Because our mouth speaks what our hearts are full of. We can't do it alone. We must allow God to change our hearts. That's the only way. If we don't allow God to change our hearts, yet we keep bearing the name of Christ, then the chances are we'll have a hypocritical tongue. And if we're honest with ourselves, most of us in here at one time or another have probably had a hypocritical tongue. With this very tongue that I'm delivering the message with today, I have cursed people. With this very tongue that I've built people up with, I have used this tongue to cut down my neighbor. Every one of us in here has had hypocritical tongues at some point or another. At some point in our life, we've used words that weren't edifying to God. At some point in our life, we have used words that aren't good for building up our neighbors, but yet cutting down our neighbors. Sometimes we're so quick to be using these debonair, foolish words to our neighbors. And we need to think before we speak, why am I about to say what I'm about to say? Is this really going to build my neighbor up, or is it going to tear them down? Are the words I'm speaking going to edify the Lord? Are they going to give God glory? Or are they going to show my neighbors that I'm not glorifying God right now? How can we praise God yet curse his creation at the same time? We can't do it. We cannot truly be praising God and cursing the very thing that is made in his image. How can we claim to be living in the Spirit but still speaking in the flesh? It doesn't work. It doesn't work. Yet if we truly submit to God, if we truly submit to God, every part of our life, even the words that we use, if we truly let God restore our hearts and restore our perspective on this world to see the world that he would have us, the way that he would have us see it, we will see that we cannot help but to speak good things. We cannot help but to build up our neighbors. We cannot help but to share the gospel, because we should want to change this world as Christians. As people who had their hearts transformed by God, we should want to be out there spreading this joy, spreading this good news, instead of spreading words that tear others down, instead of spreading words of hate. The tongue is a very powerful thing. With it, we can build one another up or tear one another down. With it, we can praise God or curse his creation. The choice of the words that we use are just that. It's a choice that we make daily. We can choose to use good words. We can choose to use words that tear our neighbors down. How will you choose to speak to your neighbor as we go into this week? How will you choose to use words that will edify God, or use words that will take glory from God? I want to leave us with Psalms 15, verses 1 through 3, because I think they sum up this sermon today of taming the tongue. It says, "Who can live in your tent, Lord? Who can dwell on your holy mountain? The person who lives free of blame, does what is right, and speaks the truth sincerely, who does no damage with their talk, does no harm to a friend, and doesn't insult a neighbor." This psalm has given us the challenge of how to live free of blame, how to live in speaking truth and sincerity to one another, how to live as a person who does no damage with their talk. These are the people who can live in your tent, Lord, who can dwell on your holy mountain. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we ask that you be with us in the words that we use. We ask that you help us to tame our tongue, this small but powerful part of our body. We ask that you would change our hearts so that our mouth would not speak what our heart used to be full of, but what our heart is full of when you are present in it. Heavenly Father, we ask that you would be with us and guide us and keep us in your peace and protection. In your name we pray, amen.